sell you something that you don't need. They're there to listen to you, and they'll make recommendations, and they won't do anything without asking about if that's what you want to do, and I've found that to be invaluable.
RB Technologies cares about their customers. Online at rbtechvt.com. RB Technologies, efficiency through technology.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. We all made it to a Friday. Coming up on the program today, we have a couple of great guests coming your way. Later this hour, we're going to chat with Adam Boyce. Adam is the man behind Charles Ross Taggart, who is a longtime country fiddler. So we're going to feature a little entertainment, a little lighter news for you this morning as well. Coming up on the program in just a moment here, we're going to kick off our discussion. We'll talk with Dr. Patty O'Brien, who is the founder of this remarkable conference that's now in its 17th year up in Burlington, the Breast Cancer Conference. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I have put in a put in an email this morning. Had a brief email exchange with Anson Tebbets, the news director at WCAX, and offered him the opportunity to come on the program this morning if he wants to talk about what was just a really terrible mistake on the news last night, where they showed the picture of a murder victim and immediately, to their credit, immediately apologized. But just a really sad case last night. We'll take your phone calls throughout the program as well. Anson, I know, is going to be really in the midst of this controversy this morning there. So if he does not join us, that is not indicative of anything. But I did want to offer him the opportunity. I know he is really quite upset about this. So I thought we'd offer him that opportunity to talk about it. We'll take your phone calls throughout the program as well. Love to hear from you at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. And you can also reach us toll-free at 877-291-8255. If we also get time, I want to feature some audio from the Nobel Prize winner, the young woman who has fought for the rights of girls and women really across the world when it comes to educational opportunities. A really remarkable story. But speaking of remarkable stories, let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Dr. Patty O'Brien, who is up at Fletcher Allen Healthcare, where she's an internist. But she, more importantly, hails from the booming metropolis of Waterbury. And she's joining us live on the line this morning. Patty is the founder of the Breast Cancer Conference, which, as I mentioned, is now in its 17th year. And as Patty and I were reminiscing before we went on the air here, I think actually I've been doing this long enough that I covered the first one. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Great, great. And thanks for letting me join you. This is a topic I love to talk about.
Well, let's, for a moment, before we get to some of the details of the conference, just for a moment celebrate here. I mean, Patty, you know, this is just remarkable what you've pulled off. 17 years ago, describe to people what this conference was like compared to today.
Well, 17 years ago, myself and another woman with breast cancer realized that there was a real need for getting information to people that would help them make choices in their care. And we went to our oncology providers and said, hey, you know, let's put together a conference. And it really has been started by women with cancer, and it now serves not only women with breast cancer, but women with any type of cancer, and anybody who wants to learn about these issues. So healthcare professionals, family members, and general public. So it just kind of keeps growing.
Well, and I mean, it's grown now to the point where the brochure for the conference is five or six, or more than that. It's probably seven or eight pages long. It reads almost like a college curriculum brochure.
We try to make it very diverse, because some women have been coming to this for 17 years, and they want something new every year. But then other women are going to be newly diagnosed, and they need the same old, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, that we've offered information about newly diagnosed people 17 years already. If you're newly diagnosed, that's new information to you. So we just kind of keep growing, trying to meet everybody's needs.
Mm-hmm. How do you think this conference makes a difference? Let's start with people that are who have been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Well, and we could start even earlier, because even before you get diagnosed, you're at risk. And some people know they're at risk because they know they have a genetic mutation, because many family members have had it. But other people are very concerned about their risk, and they want to understand what their risks are and what they can do with their lifestyle to modify those risks. So we have a lot of information about risks and screening. And as you know, there's a ton of controversy out there about when and who should be getting mammograms at what ages. So we talk a lot about those issues. But then for women who are newly diagnosed, we walk them through the decision trees of what's going to be the right treatment for you. The good news is that 75% of the women diagnosed this year are going to get a cure. But they're going to get it different ways, because there now are multiple ways to cure breast cancer. Unfortunately, 25% of those women are not going to get a cure. And we really work very hard with that 25% to help them live as long as they can, with the highest quality of life that they can, with the fewest side effects. So, you know, there's, even before you get the diagnosis, there's a lot of information you need. And then once you get the diagnosis, there's a lot of decisions you have to make to figure out how you can nudge yourself into that group that's going to get cured.
Talking with Dr. Patty O'Brien, she's the founder of the Breast Cancer Conference that's in its 17th year, going on today in Burlington at the Sheridan Conference Center. Patty, that's remarkable that you're able to actually make the statement that 75% of women that are diagnosed are cured. I mean, that's a word usually you people are reluctant to use.
But that's the good news. I mean, that breast cancer research has come a very long way, and the treatments have come a very long way. But the bad news is that 1 in 8 women are going to get this disease. I mean, it means that it's a disease of pretty high frequency. And so it's going to touch the lives of a lot of women. And that cure is not easy. Ask any of the ladies here who are involved in, you know, ill, because they're trying to get their cure. You know, they're putting a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into getting that cure. But the majority of them will be cured and will go on to live long lives. And what we want to do is help them have the highest quality of life possible, help them know what they should be eating, lifestyle, all the different things that will help them prevent that cancer from coming back.
For survivors who've been to the conference before, maybe 3-4 times, what would you tell them is there this year that would really be compelling for them to go and see?
Because the advice and the research changes every year. So when it used to be, when you first got treated for breast cancer, they would say, oh, we'll watch you for about 5 years, and then, you know, if it hasn't come back, you're cured. But unfortunately, some of those women would reoccur, and it would come back. There's now lots of new research on how long do we need to keep people on drugs that will try to keep this from coming back. What are the lifestyle changes that will keep it from coming back? So even though you got your cure, you still need to understand you know, the risk for your children, the risk for other family members? Do they need genetic testing? What are the long-term side effects? Are you going to develop side effects from your treatment years down the road, which is an unfortunate reality, that the treatments that were used were not totally benign? You can develop complications years later from the treatment that you've sort of forgotten, you know, because you're cured. So there's just fun stuff. You know, I mean, there's sexuality, and there's a burlesque class. People keep their clothes on, but it's just to try to help women feel good about their post-cancer treatment body. Some of the drugs that they were given can give them heart disease later on. We want them, you know, people didn't work hard to not die of cancer, to then die of heart disease. So you got to talk about people not smoking, keeping their cholesterol down, you know, keeping their weight under control, aerobic exercise, control blood pressure, control diabetes. So you can keep talking to people forever, as you can tell. I can talk forever.
Well, me too, so that's all right. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free, 877-291-8255. We've been talking with Dr. Patty O'Brien about a cancer, breast cancer conference going on today in Burlington. Let me just give people a small taste of some of the topics you're talking about. Recipe for breast health, understanding how diet and weight affect prevention, survivorship, and caregiving, integration of palliative care into cancer care, touch, caring, and cancer, simple instructions for family and friends, yoga for living with cancer. But tell me about this one, Patty, that talks about, you talk about some of the side effects from treatment, and one of them I know is lymphedema. Talk about, what is this lymph node transplant, a case study discussion going to be about?
There is new surgery that has just been developed in the past few years, and women who have had breast cancer often have lymph nodes removed from their armpit, or their armpit is radiated, and then they can develop a swollen arm. There's lots of sessions on how to treat that swollen arm, but new this year is a physical therapist who's going to be talking about care of people who had lymph nodes taken from their belly and then transplanted up into their axilla. And our first patient from Fletcher Allen, who went down to get this transplant done, will be there to talk about, you know, her surgery. And the therapist who took care of her will be doing that. We don't have that procedure here at Fletcher Allen yet. We're hoping to get it in Vermont. But for now, we send people out of the area to get that. But it's very exciting that we may be able to create new lymphatic systems for people who have a very damaged lymphatic system.
How long ago did she get this transplant done?
She got this transplant done over a year ago.
And it's going all right?
Yeah, she's here talking about it, showing her arm off.
Wow. So tell me, go back here. You talked about how there's controversy over this, over screenings and when and who should be getting mammograms. So what's your bottom line on this, Patty?
Well, the bottom line is that we do not have a perfect screening test for breast cancer. There is no perfect test. So if you are a young woman and you find a lump, you probably have very dense breasts and it may not show up on a mammogram. So even though you have breast cancer, it's palpable, you can have a negative mammogram because your breasts are so dense. And so that makes doing mammograms in young women in that 40 to 50 age group not as sensitive or specific as they should be. So recently, some of the various government committees have come out and said you shouldn't bother to do mammograms in that 40 to 50 age group because there's too many false positives and false negatives, and you miss a lot of people. And, of course, that's very controversial because we've been telling people to get mammograms for a long time. And so what we're trying to do is explain to people that if they have a lump, it doesn't matter that their mammogram didn't show it. They need to get it checked out. So we have sessions here with breast models with fake lumps in them, and we're teaching people how to really do a good self-breast exam, and we're talking to them about being advocates to go to a surgeon, ask to get that lump biopsied, because it could be missed on a mammogram because they have very dense breasts because they're still ovulating. So women who are ovulating and young, their breasts look very, very different than those of a postmenopausal woman who doesn't have that density anymore.
I'm going to take a call from Cabot. Tony, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Doc?
Good.
I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about an organization that I'm close to, and that's Casting for Recovery.
Sure. They're here also. Casting for Recovery is here. They'll be doing some workshops. They've got all their casting stuff out, and if we don't get rain, they'll be casting in the parking lot. Casting for Recovery is a wonderful group that takes women out on the river and uses fly fishing as a way to get people using their arms again after breast cancer surgery. The arm and the axilla can be painful if you've had an axillary dissection, and it's hard for women to sometimes get that arm going, and so they use fly fishing as a way to get people going. So they're here. And people are welcome to come on down and talk with them.
I thought it was interesting to note that Dr. Benita Walton, who is a breast cancer reconstructive surgeon, and she practices in the Manchester, Vermont area, was the founder of the organization. It was her idea, and as you say, it's the repetitive motion of casting that seems to be
They've been doing great work for a long time, and they are, I've been to their sessions as a cancer survivor and worked with them as a physician, and they do great work. I'd just like to add that the conference is all day and free, so anybody listening to this program that wants to come down to the Sheraton can just come into the exhibit hall and meet the Casting for Recovery people and talk about getting signed up for a workshop.
And they go all day. I mean, you're going pretty much until, you know, the end of the afternoon.
Yep, and it's free. So, you know, you don't have to have registered in advance. You can walk in. The exhibit hall has over 60 exhibitors there. You can get a lot of information. And depending upon when you get here, you can attend the sessions that are left. You don't have to plan to come for the full day. You can come for a half hour and just go into the exhibit hall, and it's all free.
Yeah, and the sessions look like they're all about 45 minutes or so.
Right, right. So if you're going to do sessions, you better get in the car now and get moving.
Well, and you definitely want to be there between 2 and 2:15 for the ice cream break.
Right, right. Cabot Creameries and Ben & Jerry's have given us lots of yogurt and ice cream, so we'll have good free snacks.
So, and you don't have to go to one of the sessions to participate that, but you have to promise that you go to one after.
You don't have to promise anything. You just have to come and have a smile on your face, be ready to learn, walk around that exhibit hall, and you'll be inspired.
Did you ever think 17 years ago that you would be able to say that 75% of women that are diagnosed with breast cancer are actually going to find a cure?
That we have been able to cure early breast cancers for a while. What's really amazing is that we're doing it with less morbidity. And by that I mean the treatments are nowhere near as tough as they used to be. We really used to beat women up to get that cure. And I'm not saying it's easy. I would never insult the women going through this by saying, this is easy. But it is not as toxic as it used to be. So because it is such a common disease and the advocates are so strong that a lot of wonderful research has been funded, and you know, that's how you find cures, is that people say, we want research and we'll participate in research. And I myself have participated in a lot of medical research as a patient. So Some of the drugs that I took, I didn't know if I was getting a drug or a placebo. And, you know, as it turns out, those drugs are now a standard part of care. But when I took them, they weren't. They were experimental. So that's how we find these cures. That's how we find these improvements, is we have to do clinical research. And that means everybody's got to help. You know, people got to fund it. People got to be on the research. So you as a patient have to accept that you're going to be a patient on a clinical study.
Just a couple of other questions. Is there any better idea why this breast cancer rate is so high?
There are many reasons for that. So it's not that there's just one reason. So we know we have significant obesity in this country, and we know obesity is related to the rate of breast cancer. We know that when you are obese, your blood sugars get out of control. And interestingly, some of the medications that we use to control blood sugars are now being used to treat breast cancer. So there's a lot of lifestyle and things, you know, interacting there. We know that 90% of breast cancer is felt to be an interaction between the genes that you were born with and the environment that you live with. So we're constantly researching, you know, what are the chemicals in your environment that can be increasing that risk for your breast cancer. And our keynote today is a physician who's going to be talking about phthalates and chemicals in the environment and how those can increase or change your risk for breast cancer. So it breast cancer happens for many different reasons. So one woman might have gotten breast cancer because she inherited a genetic defect. Other women may have gotten it because of something else in their environment that turned on a gene that then caused their breast cancer. So it's a very complex series of things that have to go wrong in order for you to get this disease. But many women are getting this disease. 1 in 8 women are getting this disease. So we've got to keep researching.
Last question. What's been learned? What's a better practice today than back when you started this in terms of helping women deal with the psychological part of this?
That has come a long, long way. I mean, you don't come into the breast care center now without being offered one-on-one support, group support, ongoing emotional support around this, that we have a program called Steps to Wellness, where we get women, men and women, this is for any cancer patient, who to come and work out in the gym together, to feel good about their bodies, to feel safe using their body. So there's many different types of interventions that are now standard of care. The cancer isn't in a closet. It used to be you didn't talk about that you had cancer. There was some, you know, fear about that. But you don't need that anymore, you know, that you can be very public about that you're a cancer survivor. The breast cancer people took it out of the closet with their pink ribbons. I mean, you know, it's like a club, you know, and everybody takes ownership and is very public about it. So it's very easy to get support if you're willing to accept it. Some people still refuse it, but it's there if you want it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time this morning. You know, there's just an enormous number of people out there, Patty, that just think the world of you. I hope you know that.
Thank you. Well, I love what I do. I'm very lucky to enjoy all these people.
Good luck today.
Great. Thank you so much for helping us get the word out. Take care.
My pleasure. Dr. Patty O'Brien is the founder of the Breast Cancer Conference. It's going on up today in Burlington. It's going to be going until 4:30 this afternoon. As you heard us mention a couple of times here, there are panels and discussions that are going on until 4:30 this afternoon. You can just bop in. This is not something where you're going to be signing up in the morning and, you know, you're kind of locked in there all day and you can't leave. You can scoot in and out if you want. If the 2 to 2:15 ice cream break doesn't lure you there, there really are just some incredible programs, some incredible discussions that are going to be going on. Let me just give you a couple of ones that are going to be going on in the afternoon here. Physician track the many benefits of palliative care. What do you do when you find a lump? What's new in reconstructive surgery? Clinical trials and you. I mean, you know, it's incredible. Just between 2:15 and 3, that's what's going on. I mean, there's stuff going on all day. I would also refer you to the Fletcher Allen Healthcare website, or I'm sorry, the VT Cancer Center. You can find that on the web, where they've got all the information on all this. And if you want to just head on up there, it is at the Sheridan Free, going on all day. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to switch topics, as we sometimes do on the program here. We're going to be chatting with Adam Boyce. We're going to talk about Charles Ross Taggart. We'll be back after this.
They're headed your